right. So, what do we talk about after that? I'm changing. Yeah. Oh. You like my dress? Thank you. I'm thinking about changing, though. Yeah. Yeah, actually, Jonna, funny you should mention that you like my dress because I'm about to quote you. Ha! So one of our congregants, who shall remain nameless, posted something on Facebook that I thought was most amusing. She is of the Jewish faith. She was raised Jewish. And she posted a picture of the Pillsbury Doughboy, a picture of the Pillsbury Doughboy, and underneath it, it said, "I am risen." But next to it, she posted a picture of a matzah cut in the shape of a Pillsbury Doughboy with exactly the same expression on his face. It was a matzah Pillsbury Doughboy. And underneath him it said, "I am not risen." And how beautiful that we celebrate all paths to God here, because I would ask you people, I would ask you, my beloved congregation, am I risen, am I not risen? Which is it? And the answer is, yes, I am both. I am both. You are both. We are both. We are all of it, all of the time, because we are one with God. So this is Easter Sunday, the Sunday when we celebrate resurrection. And as you know, in this faith, first of all, I'm thinking many of you probably know the basic plot, right? The basic story where Jesus was crucified, and then he got put in a tomb, and he hung out in the tomb for about 3 days, and then the stone rolled away, and Jesus came out. And sorry. and a whole religion started from that. So that's all you'd say about that. But metaphysical people say that resurrection is more than something that just happened to a single person. That resurrection is less about a single person and more of a process. It is a process that is ongoing in life for each of us. It is the process of transformation that is the fabric of existence. It is the process that recognizes that beneath all of this change, all of this impermanence, there is changeless being. And it is also this enduring relationship. Resurrection is a symbol of the enduring relationship that we have with reality, that informs us, that affects us, that lifts us up, that sometimes makes us sad. It's all of that. It's everything included in this unbroken wholeness and our participation and relationship with it. So that's what Easter is. It is a celebration of that and the capacity to have a new life within this unbroken wholeness that is the all good, the all love of God, because that is the ultimate reality. That is the ultimate reality. And so Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, is a reminder for all of us that something within us wants to resurrect. Something, some dream that has been forgotten, something that is not working in our life, it wants to resurrect, it wants to be healed, it wants to be whole. There is something within us that wants to rise up. And so this morning we are talking about that. We are talking about coming alive in love, because that is what we are here to do. We are here to come alive and be everything that God chooses to express through us. We are here to come alive in love. Sorry, I didn't mean to stop as you're leaving. Bye-bye. Have a nice Sunday. They probably came to hear you, no, right? I don't either. Okay. Anyway. I know you do, and it's fine. It's fine. Just, it's fine. It's just a distraction when somebody's leaving, so I usually just stop. And it's, you know, I completely get it, that sometimes expectations of what a Sunday sermon is going to be, perhaps they wanted something more traditional, right? Who knows? We love them. We bless them. We believe them. We forgive them. We don't even need to forgive them because they didn't do anything wrong, right? Okay. Okay, back to the nature of reality, back to the nature of wholeness. Woohoo! Okay, liberated, free, awesome, back to all of that. Oh my goodness. So the nature of reality is this. See if I can explain it. I want you all to think about a God quality. Like, for now, let's just think about either love or beauty, and try and think about that without attaching it to any object. Try and just feel or experience love without attaching it to any object. Feels a little vague, doesn't it? Now think about something or someone that you love or some beauty that you wish to experience and get a picture of it, what that looks like. Whether it's the Grand Canyon or a redwood forest or the ocean, whether it's a beautiful piece of art. And you see how much easier it is when we attach it to a particular object, right? It's easier to experience beauty or love or any God quality, joy, when we attach it to something, right? When we attach it to something. And I believe that that is what the infinite had in mind when it decided to create this beautiful universe out of itself. From nothing came everything. And why? So that the infinite could have the experience that we just had of having existence to deepen its experience of that which it already had in mind, which is love, beauty, joy, grace, peace, all of those things. The infinite created the universe so that it could experience itself, so that it could move into deeper and deeper connection and deeper commitment to all of the values that it already has, all of the things, all of the ephemeral qualities that it has, that it is. The universe also, God, love, whatever we want to call it, made it even better by throwing in this element of contrast. By creating the illusion that there is the infinite, that there is infinite subject, and that there are separate infinite objects. Right? You get that? There is an illusion that the objects of the universe are separate from God. And you know what that's like? Why we need contrast? If we were to each light a candle and go out through those doors, it would be nice, but if we were to light a candle, say, on Christmas Eve, when all the lights are out and all the farm animals are on stage, it would be beautiful. It would be beautiful. Contrast exists so that we, too, can deepen our relationship with what is beautiful, what is right, what is noble, what is good, what is joyful. We need the opposite in order to experience the opposite of the opposite, the good, as opposed to what we call not so good. We need the opposite in order to experience with any depth or with any power. And so spirit sacrificed its feeling, its ongoing feeling of joy and peace and harmony and love to cram itself into this little infinite box called our minds so that it could expand. You ever pack for a trip and you like squeeze like way too much stuff into a suitcase and you know that stuff wants to get out, right? It wants to get out. That's what God is like. God crammed itself into this little tiny suitcase of our brains and our finite expression and our finite experience and said, I'm really infinite and I want to get out. Will they let me out? One of the things that I know, that I know so powerfully about the world, about the universe, is that stuff wants to get out. Any of you have animals? You know, let me start with plants. If you buy a plant and you say, oh, this is the plant, it's very nice, it's really nice, but then it explodes, right? It wants to get out. It wants to get bigger. Our dog, Bartok, wants to get out and kill the mailman. Our bunny, Bigfoot, the one who recently passed away, who looked so much like the bunny that we just had on stage. Our bunny Bigfoot wanted to get out, and in fact he did. He got out to chew through the Roku wire so we couldn't stream Netflix. It's a tragedy. Tragedy. Our new bunny, whose name is Hippolyta, Queen of the Amazons. She's a big girl. First thing I did, I put her in her pen in our living room, really special in our house now, these days, by the way. There's a rabbit pen in our living room. Put her in the pen, I went into the bedroom, and next thing I know, Hugh is calling me, Bon, Hippolyta, Queen of the Amazons, is hopping around the living room. She wanted to get out and do mischief or do whatever bunnies do. Even one of our tortoises, our box turtle, Caroline, Carolina. Carolina and Duke are my Box Turtles. Who here is a fan of Duke? Basketball? No? Yeah, no. You guys, you tell me you're fans of Duke. Who's on Carolina's side? Okay, nobody cares. Okay, awesome. Perfect. Honestly, I don't really care either. You like turtles? Who here is a fan of turtles? Yay, turtles. Yeah, so Caroline, when we first got her, I had no idea that turtles could move like they could. Put her down in the middle of the living room, the floor in the living room, and went to do something on the computer. Came back in about 3 minutes, gone. She wanted to get out, and our back door happened to be open. And she walked out through the back door and buried herself in this big pile of leaves. And Hugh and I, it took us 2 hours to find her. 2 hours. And there she was in the last place that we looked. Animals want to get out. And there is something in us that wants to get out, but sometimes we don't know how. But you know what? There's another great thing about spirit, is that when we are filled with spirit and that divine urge, that thing, that love, that joy, that peace, that harmony, that abundance that wants to escape through your life and do all kinds of things, like Caroline the turtle, like the bunnies, like Bartok. Although I don't recommend you kill the mailman, okay? Like all of those things, there's something in you that wants to get out, and you may not know how. You may not know how, but the power of the universe that causes the tides to run back and forth and the trees to grow and the flowers to give us an abundance of blooms, that knows exactly what to do. When I was in India last year, we went out to this kite festival in the town that we were staying in, and we were up on this roof garden looking at everybody flying the kites. And we looked over, and there was a roof that was a little bit higher, but you had to climb up this tile roof to get to it. And I said, I'm not doing that. But then some of my friends went up there, and I said, I think I am doing that. I don't know how, but I think I am doing that. And so my friends helped me up the steps. And then we got a little higher. We were up there higher from where we were before. And we looked over, and there was a much better roof a little farther away. A much better roof where they were playing this really loud Bollywood music, and everybody was dancing. All these women in saris were dancing around, and they saw us looking at them. They saw these Americans and people from other countries looking at them, and they started beckoning us. But there was a wall that we had to scale to get over there. There was a wall. How was I going to scale that wall? You know, I'm not that spry anymore. You know, I'm like in my, well, I'm 60, okay? So I just said, no, something in me knows how to get over that wall. It was harder than it looked. But I stepped on this little outcropping, and before I knew it, the people above pulled me up, and the people behind, these very polite Indian men, were all pushing on my bottom, getting me up over that wall. The universe conspired to get me up over that wall, and so I danced with the people, and eventually I went downstairs, but you know what happened to the people that stayed on the roof? They saw a better roof, an even better roof, and this roof had an alley between it. It had an alley. So how are they going to get over the alley? You know what they did? They took a cot, and they stretched it from one roof to the other, and they crawled across the cot to get to the better roof. That's how spirit works, folks. That's how spirit works. You have an idea, and the universe, if you take one step, the universe rushes in to support you in making that idea a reality. In making that idea a reality so that you can live and expand and be the love and the joy and the aliveness that spirit wants to experience and express through you. And how beautiful it is that there are obstacles, how beautiful it is that there are illusions of things in your way so that you get to transcend them and you get to know that the tomb holds no power for you, as it said in the reading, right? The tomb is empty once you have that consciousness. So speaking of the tomb, you know, you may want to, we often want like a step-by-step guide as to how to do something, and I don't really have that, but I do have some of the symbols of the crucifixion and the resurrection that might help us get out, get that joy, get that power, get that peace out of ourselves that we can express it in beautiful, wonderful ways. The first symbol is the crucifixion itself. Do you know that when we call forth a big change, when we want to get out more, when we want to express more, often something has to be crucified. Something has to be let go. Sometimes it doesn't feel like we have a choice about it. Something changes in our life that feels like a crucifixion, that feels like a death, that feels like a loss. I was reading an article the other day by Kindspring, which is a portal, an electronic magazine portal of Service Space. Service Space is run by the guy that was here last Sunday, Nipun Mehta. And I was reading a story about one of the 10 kindest stories of 2018. And in this story, it told about a woman who, I think she lived in New York, and she went down to go to work one day. She rode her bicycle to work, and her bicycle had been stolen. And she didn't have much money, and she was in despair because she didn't know what she was going to do. She couldn't afford public transportation. She needed her bicycle to get to work. Her family was depending on her and that bicycle to get to work. So she was in despair, and that was a crucifixion of sorts. It was a loss. It was a needing to let go. So often after we're crucified, we go into the tomb, and the relationship with the tomb is very important. It is a place of waiting. It is a place of patience and a place of tolerance. It is a place where we need to be vulnerable enough to tolerate the uncertainty of being between worlds, of being what being between what was and what is to be. And so this woman chose to express her vulnerability in a very unique way, in a way that is becoming, I think, rarer and rarer for many of us. Probably nobody here. She told the truth. She told the truth about how she was feeling. She got a big sign, and she wrote on it in yellow paint, "If you stole my bicycle, please bring it back. It'll cost me $200 to get a new one, and I need my bicycle so I can go to work." And then she put in parentheses, "You should have stolen a bicycle from a hipster yuppie, because they could probably afford a new one." So she put up the sign, and that was vulnerability. That was her being truthful. That was her just saying, wait a minute, I'm not going to collapse into despair, but I'm going to be vulnerable. I'm going to put myself out there and see if something new can be born from this. And so she did. She put herself out there. She put up the sign. And then there's that stone. That stone that was rolled away. But we don't often roll it away in one fell swoop, right? We have to kind of chip away at it, right? The stone is our blocks in consciousness. It is our distrust. It is our needing the demonstration to look like a certain thing, right? I'm sure she felt like, okay, I'm going to put this sign up, and maybe the guy who stole my bicycle will take heart and bring it back to me. What happened, though, was that she put the sign up, and the first day it was up, an African-American couple came to her, and they had a children's bike with them, and they said, we know you're probably too big for this, but we saw your sign, and we just felt your despair so much, and so we wanted to give you this bicycle. And she knew it wasn't really the right bicycle for her, but she was so moved by the kindness and by the love. It was their son's bike that they had outgrown, so she took it anyway, and she hugged them, and she let them go. A couple of days later, a Hispanic woman came up, and she said, "I also don't have the money to give you the bank, but I just was so moved by your sign. I was so touched by it. And I looked up what kinds of bikes that hipsters ride, and they're really expensive. and so I can't get you that, but I just wanted to let you know that I stand with you." And she hugged her. And so you see, the gift was something even more than a new bicycle. It was this kindness and this continuity and this neighborhood that was forming around this incident, this quote-unquote unfortunate incident. And then, as we chip away more and more of the stone, as a stone rolls away, we have to be willing to step into the light. It's not Groundhog Day, people, it's Easter. We need to step into the light and stay there. What happened to this woman was she was doing something in her living room, and the husband was outside where the sign was, and he called her and he said, "You got to come down here. We got to take down this sign." And she said, "No, I'm not taking down that sign. I have to leave it up for at least a week, for at least until the day the anniversary week of when the bike was stolen." And he said, "No, you don't understand. You have to come down here." And there was a man there looking at the sign, and he was taking pictures of it. And he said, I've been looking at this sign for several days now. I've been looking at the sign, and I've been taking pictures. It is all over Instagram. It is all over Facebook. It is all over social media. A lot of people are talking about this sign. I was wondering, can I buy it from you for $200? That is resurrection, folks. That is resurrection. So we step into the light and we receive the gift. We receive the gift of God that is pouring through us. The gift of God, like climbing over the wall and the roof, the gift of God that we don't have to make happen. We just have to be available for it to happen, right? We receive the gift, and then once we receive the gift, there's one more thing, and that is to go forth and be disciples for the gift, to share it, to pay it forward. This woman in the story ended up taking the children's bike, and she brought it to the bike shop where she was going to purchase her new bike, and she said, let's refurbish this bike. And as an exchange, she got them trained on social media so that they could see all of the postings about they started calling it hashtag karma cycle, about the sign, all of that. And look what's happening now. I'm speaking about it in a church years after it happened, and you're all taking this into your heart. And who knows where these ripples will go? As I'm fond of saying lately, I'm sort of obsessed with this quote, but forgive me for saying it again. Jesus said, these things ye shall do and more. And it's not about necessarily healing the sick or raising the dead. It is taking these principles and using them in your life in a deeply personal way with whatever is going on, because whatever is going on is exactly what you need in order to expand into greater life and greater love. So that's our calling for today, is to look at our lives through the lenses that we've presented here this Sunday, that we've talked about this Sunday, and to know that for you there is such great good. There is such great good that is waiting to resurrect through you and resurrect for you. There is such beauty in you that wants to express. There is such love in you that wants to express. Thomas Father Keating, paraphrase, said that sometimes people think that it's selfish, spiritual people think that it's selfish to work on themselves, that they should be out there healing the sick raising the dead, I just said that, but healing the sick and doing all kinds of good works, and maybe you should, but he says that the greatest thing that you can do is to work on yourself. We are here to work on ourselves and only ourselves. We thank anyone and everything that gives us the opportunity, because as we work on ourselves, as we anchor in love, as we become alive in love, and as we become so alive in love that it needs to overflow and spill from us, that changes and blesses the entire world. And I got news for all of you. If you are here, you are in a great place to practice that. We've got so much good going on here. And I just look forward to your participation and my participation and all of our shared participation to see what kind of a center of love we can build together where we are love. The angels are speaking. Where we share love and where we serve love. Happy Easter. Thank you very much. God bless. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.